They're very good, very enjoyable. Pastor does a really good job. So beings were kind of off a little bit because of the virus we all know about. We decided to just have a teaching this Wednesday night. So bless you all for being here, and I praise that the Lord will be with us all, and the Holy Spirit will be with me as I lead you in the study of this word. Before I start, I'd like to remind us of what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, as we think about this, let's remember the Bible is God's word to us, to humanity. It's his personal message to you, someone who he created and knows intimately and loves by his grace very much. Praise be to God and the grace of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there's so much we need to know and so much you can teach. Help us to learn what to do and what not to do, and why it's always in our best interest to follow your instructions. Your truth is exposed when we read your word. Help us to read and understand. Thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, and thank you for the gift of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. As believers in Christ, we have the privilege of entering the most sacred place in human experience. Think of that. It's a privilege. The presence of the Almighty God. We can't do this on our own. Jesus' blood is the credential. He covers our sin so that we may know God is our Father and friend. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, Paul says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Very humbling. Get our wisdom from the Spirit and the Word. Okay. So, with that, my lesson tonight is going to be on controlling our thoughts. I've had people over the years ask me, and we've had discussions about it, some in counseling, that one of the things that's very difficult sometimes is controlling our thoughts. Why is controlling our thoughts so important? There's many reasons, but the peace of God is one of the most important reasons. Is our relationship, through our relationship with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, as we learn to control our thoughts, we find peace. Who's controlling our thoughts, and why, as a Christian, is it so important? In Romans 8:9, it says, "You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, the Spirit of God lives in every believer." So, again, we know as born-again Christians, when we accept Christ as our Savior and have put our faith and trust in that, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's Spirit that lives in us. This lesson is taken from Philippians 4, 4 through 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16, and Hebrews 14, 12, plus a few others that I've thrown in there as we go along. But let's start out by reading from Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 through 9, starting in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is loving, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or trustworthy, think about it, such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, so what Paul is talking about here in Philippians, in verse 4, let's start by reading, let's talk about verse 4 a little bit. In verse 4, he's talking about rejoice in the Lord always under any kind of circumstances, including suffering. Very difficult thing to do for us, isn't it? Why do you suppose he put so much emphasis on that? This lesson is all about keeping on our thoughts on the things that are important to God and according to God's will, and there's a very good reason for that. I like to think about, when we're struggling, we need to keep in mind two things, that Christ is always with us, the power of the Spirit is with us, but also God's promises, the many great promises that he's given to us. We can form thoughts and ideas a lot of times from friends and people and things that we see every day. We'll touch on that a little bit more, but this kind of brought to mind to me a little bit about Job and his friends. If you read the story of Job, the contrast I'm talking about here is the help he was getting from his friends, and then when his friends were done, then he sat down with God. And it's interesting to read because there's a totally different concept there of the thought process. So anyway, verse 5, we talk about gentleness. Christ-like consideration for others, especially essential in church leaders. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2 says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our high priest and high shepherd. Verse 6, do not be anxious, self-centered, counterproductive. Worry, which shows a lack of faith and trust and hinders the spread of the gospel. In every situation, we must pray. Anxiety and prayer are two great opposing forces in the Christian experience. In other words, again, we're not alone. We need to trust him for delivery. We talk about how our actions, our thoughts, the things we say, how we act, can so often affect how other people around us, how the other people that we're trying to reach. So it's very important what he's talking about. Pray, anxiety and prayer are two great opposing forces in the Christian experience, and I really believe that if we become over anxious and dwell on things that are counter to how God would have us handle it, it becomes very counterproductive, and it can really affect our spiritual life and spiritual well-being. Thanksgiving is the antidote to worry, along with prayer and petition, asking God for strength and wisdom in our time and trials. Again, it reminds me of how thankful we are to have a graceful, loving God that we do. Verse 7, peace of God. In other words, peace between God and man. The peaceful state of those whose sins are forgiven. The tranquility that comes when believers commit all their cares to God in prayer and worry about them no more. We are under God's protective custody in Jesus. It's a thing I don't think we can emphasize enough, is the gracious gift our Lord Jesus gave us by our faith and trust in him to be able to ask for forgiveness of sins, and knowing that those, through forgiveness, those sins are gone for good. We don't have to think about them anymore. Okay. What we allow to occupy our minds will sooner or later determine our speech and actions. I really do believe that. It's like a child, as they grow and as they learn, so many things stay with them, and it has a big effect on how they act and things that they do. I like this one with virtues listed in verses 8 and 9. What is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? We need to think about and put into practice, because it's sure to produce a wholesome thought pattern, which in turn will result in a life of moral and spiritual excellence. In other words, he's talking again about their dependence on the Holy Spirit, the precious gift that we received as God's children, and the power of the Holy Spirit, but also it brings us peace. But to me, the main thing is it has so much to do with developing the character of Christ. You want to find out what type of character we as God's children should have? You study Christ's life and you read the many things that he accomplished and did in his lifetime and how he acted towards people. It's a great example. God is a God of peace, which transcends all understanding. In other words, even though we don't understand, God does understand. He understands everything. And we need to put our faith and trust in him and his understanding. So with that, let's think about where Paul was when he wrote these words to the church in Philippi. Now, you got to remember, Paul started this church. It's a very young church, a lot of young followers, and he was trying to get across to them the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant and how God wanted them to live according to the new covenant. And so he loved the church very much and was very concerned about it. So the problem was, do you remember where Paul was when he wrote this letter? He happened to be in a Roman prison. Now, as I read about that, do you notice as he wrote this letter, what's the one thing that he didn't do? He didn't mention the conditions, did he? He didn't talk about the mistreatment. He didn't talk about the separation from his followers. Didn't talk about how unfair it was. And something that would be near and dear to pastor's heart, he didn't complain about the food. But why? Why do you think that was so important? He wrote about positive things. Why was that so important? Well, we got to remember who he was writing to. Again, he was writing to a young church that was going through struggles. They were having problems trying to stay with the teachings that Paul had given without allowing people to come in and start pulling them a different direction. And so, again, we all know about the problems churches can have with church decisions and splits. Basically, they were struggling with that. And so Paul didn't want them to be dwelling on the negatives of that. What he wanted to do was have them to dwell on the words of his teaching. So, in other words, basically, I don't know about you, but I know if it had been me in that prison at that time and I had a chance to write a letter home, it probably would have been one of the first things in my letter would have been to whine and complain about the conditions and where I was and how unfair it was. So this really shows the strength and the character of Paul. So he was praying for them and teaching them best, teaching them so they may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, be filled with the fruit of the righteousness through Christ. Paul tells us it's important, this is very important for us, to center our thinking on what is true, just, pure, lovely, admirable, virtuous, and praiseworthy, so that we will have peace. As believers, Christ, as believers in Christ, we can experience inner peace that isn't dependent on the circumstances around us. Paul was setting an example to the church. He was proposing himself as well as his doctrine to their imitation. He understood that a wholesome thought pattern results in a life of moral and spiritual excellence. I think it's important we need to put these things into practice for this to be a part of our lives. As we learn to discipline ourselves, as we study about how we are to react to things in this life, the more that we study the Scriptures, the more that we rely on the Holy Spirit, the more things become like a reflex to us. When we hear something that's not in the teachings of God, we instinctively no, I don't need to hear that. I don't want to. I mean, it becomes a part of us. In other words, it a lot of times we're kind of slow-witted, and sometimes we allow ourselves to drift into something, and all of a sudden, after we've acquired a bunch of the thought patterns from that, we realize I shouldn't have gone there. But it's important that we need to control our thoughts and be able to be a reflex as to how we react to what we're hearing and what we're looking at. Okay. Took me a little while to get that out, but the Bible, missed a little bit here. The mind is a powerful thing, and we can think rightly or wrongly. We can't think evil, and we can't live righteously. Amen to that. We need to listen to the Spirit as born-again Christians saved by Jesus. You know, he didn't erase all the faulty patterns when we became born-again Christians. And Satan likes to capitalize on this. We talk about spiritual battle. This is what we're talking about, spiritual battle between Satan and God. Some of the things that Satan likes to use, I know I can vouch for this very much, is like, for example, money, addictions centered on drugs, pornography, gossip, all things counter to God. We need to listen to the Spirit is born again Christians to help us through this spiritual warfare. No one is forcing us to watch or listen or read things that don't align with Scripture. We make the choice. We must depend on God. His cure for evil thinking is to fill our minds with that which is good. We've been given the gift of human beings to make choices. This can be a tough choice sometimes. I understand I've gotten old enough, taken me a long time sometimes to learn things, but to understand that it's a struggle, and we really need the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures to help us with this stuff, but it's so important. The Bible teaches you are what you think. So what do we do? Well, we need to recognize we have the mind of Christ. His Spirit lives in us. Again, going back to the Holy Spirit, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, Christ's mind, Christ's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The non-Christian is governed by thought and life by an unrenewed worldly heart. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 2. 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. I got the right one here. No. 2, 15 and 16. I'm in 3. I knew there was something wrong. All right. 2, starting in 15. Here it is. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The true wisdom is received only by the Spirit, enlightened Christians. So with that, we as believers can make judgments about all things. He is abiding in us. He gives us the capacity to think like he thinks. What a wonderful privilege that is. I know we got to be careful when we talk about judging, but what he's referring to here is the Bible and the Holy Spirit instruct us in the proper way to make proper judgment. An example is why this is why I've always hated gossip. You know, there's been too many judgments, too many thought patterns developed about people over the year based on gossip. And I learned a long time ago that in order to truly judge somebody or to get the proper thought pattern about that person, his actions, how he is and stuff, you got to know your facts. And most of the time, the best way to do that is by spending time with the person, sitting down with them and talking with them, and also following the lead of the scripture as we sit down with them. But so often people end up through gossip is they form an opinion about somebody off of that, and that opinion stays with them for a long time. They always, every time they think of that person, they make that judgmental thought about that person. And that's what this is really talking about, is things like gossip are so important that we avoid gossip. We base our decisions about things and people on the scripture, not about gossip, not from gossip. Paul said, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeing the things above. We need to keep our minds on Christ and not on earthly things, as stated in Colossians 3, 1 and 4. Okay. Back here and see if I can find... Four, five. No, can't find it here. Number four, right here. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord. We are called upon to become in daily experience what we are in Christ. We will fight this battle in our mind until we go to heaven. It's a spiritual warfare for control of our mind. When a strong wrong thought hits our mind, we need to make a choice: follow the Spirit or not. If you want to know if you're thinking correctly, check it out in the Word. Let's go to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Okay. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints, marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. The Word of God is His truth, revealed to us by Christ, the incarnate Word. The activity of the Word and the activity of God are one in the same. Okay, let's, I'm going to read here from Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's no way we can live according to God's will without the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. It renews our mind. We need to focus our thinking on the Word, and as our thoughts stray, we need to redirect them toward the Word. It takes time. This doesn't happen overnight, but I have found a good example of one of the good things coming out of this is I've spent quite a bit more time, as I should have been doing all along, in the Scripture. And it's just amazing to me how, as we go through the Scripture, especially I love my NIV study Bible because it refers you back and forth so much between the Old and the New Testament. It's amazing the things that you pick up and you learn. So I think that's part of God's plan in this virus thing right now. We as Christians gives us an opportunity to spend more time with Him in His Word. But when He talks about the will, God's will, we emphasize here is thought and will as they relate to morality. Thoughts, all the things that we see around us, the things on TV and stuff like that is, boy, it's easy not to have a thought on a right plane as God's morality. It's a constant battle. Like I said, we need to consider matters from the perspective of Scripture and apply it to our lives. We need to meditate on the Word of God if we want to control our thoughts. Remember, our thoughts are highly sought after by Satan. Paul says you are to take every thought into captivity in the obedience of Christ. Redirecting our thoughts is a powerful tool in learning to control our thoughts. We need to refuse to think about some things Satan throws at us. For example, TV. There's a lot of things on TV, and there's a real array of how they are as far as what we would consider moral and how they would relate to the will of God. But there are, don't get me wrong, there are some good things on TV. I'm not saying that. But what I'm getting at here is we as Christians working at controlling our thought patterns, we need to realize when it's time to turn it off, time to walk away from it, time to switch the channel, whatever. But don't go there. It's easy to you know, be pulled that direction. But another thing, again, I talked on was gossip and tabloids. You can stand there at the checkout line in the grocery store and the tabloids are there, and you can find yourself sometimes going, well, you know, I'm not saying that probably everything in there is, but they're full of things that we really don't need to know as God's people, and we don't need to use that for making judgments, and that's what can happen. And also, of course, we get to our lovely computer. Now, the computer contributes an awful lot to mankind, and there are a lot of good things, don't get me wrong, but boy, that's another place you really have to be careful because there is a lot of nasty stuff on there, and it is so easy, just out of curiosity, to start being pulled a direction. And we got to know, as Barney Fife used to say on Andy, nip it in the bud. Don't allow yourself to go that direction, because once it's up here, very hard to get it out. We need to refuse the input of ungodly things. It's difficult to erase them. It's not impossible because God's children, we have the capacity to think like Christ. God said, do not be conformed to this world. Keep your thoughts on Jesus and the teachings of the Scripture. If we control our thoughts, we can control the direction of our lives by the power of the Spirit and the Word. Through prayer, we allow the Spirit to cleanse our thoughts. We learn to turn our thoughts into discussions with God. I like that. When you do have an issue, whenever we have a problem or an issue, by going to the Word, a lot of times it's not only reading the Scripture, but it's sort of like, how do I put it? It's like I find myself talking to God like I'm talking to I know I don't want to compare God with a normal person, but I mean, I actually carry on a verbal conversation with him about sometimes what I'm reading in the Scripture, and it's amazing how sometimes the Spirit actually, or God actually reveals to me is his answer in here. So I kind of hit on that a little bit. It's like having a discussion with God. Let's see. As we think about many voices we hear in a given day, TV, the workplace, friends, and family, it's easy to fall prey to deception unless we renew our mind with God's Word. As God's children, we are given the ability through the Spirit and the Word to discern that which comes from God's Spirit or another source opposed to God. God's people delight in God's Word. They live in God's presence, they draw from Him, and they remember Him. As we fill our minds with God's Word, Satan's lies will become easier to identify. Our attitudes, our emotions, our desires, and our behaviors will align with the Scripture. In other words, our thoughts will be pleasing to God. Isaiah 55:8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." The secret of a balanced and gratifying life is to live in such a way that it's easy for the Master to express Himself through us. In other words, what I started out with is Paul's example. This is the way of the true sanctification. Every Christian is called to serve the Lord. He has given us all we need and to control our thoughts. It's up to us to use them and to ask Him to forgive us when we fail through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul, we are to be visual aids to those around us. I want to go to my good friend Peter. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires from which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." We are to be separated from the corruption of the world, not yielding to its destructive, sinful powers. Our God, our good life may lead others to God. I want to talk about, we're going to read John 14, 23 and 24. John 14, 23 through 24. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, And we will come to them and make our home in with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who has sent me. There's six things here I'd like us to, as I'm winding down here, I'd like us to concentrate on and become focal point in our life. Number one is focus on Jesus and his word. Number two, be obedient to him. Show our love for him as we are show obedience to God and to Christ. We show our love to them. That's why we are obedient, because we love them. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four, we need to know Christ personally, not just know him. Satan knew him. There's all kinds of people that you can talk to out there that know Jesus, but they don't know him personally. And we, as his children, we need to really become, gain in our knowledge and have a personal relationship with him. What a tremendous advantage we have as his children. Okay. Number five. Let the thought of praising him dominates your thoughts, and you will feel the power of the Almighty God flowing through your life. Number six, if you put God at the center of your life and thoughts, you will discover that by appreciating your life, you continually move closer to him, the source of all real faith and peace. That again is, as we control our thoughts, and using the example of forgiveness of sins, we confess our sins to Christ, that those sins are gone. We're not having to drag that burden around with us anymore, and it carries through our thought pattern also. And we can enjoy our lives through the peace of God without spending so much time on things that hurt us and can hamper us and can harm us. So this is so important. To understand, to control our thought patterns, we need to study God's word, depend on the Holy Spirit, and trust God and trust his promises. I'm going to finish up here now. I have one more thing I'd like to read. The discipline that is needed to live a life of a Christian love demands a strength that can only come from the Holy Spirit. This is nurtured through prayer and Bible study and hunger for the more profound experience with God. Do this, and you will find that you begin to develop your full spiritual potential and a godly thought pattern. So let's close in prayer. I chose to use a prayer from the Scriptures. There's so many great prayers in the Scriptures, and this is one that I hit on every once in a while. I'm kind of thick-skulled, so my memory isn't always, it's hard for me to memorize verses, but I think every Christian, if at all possible, this is a verse from Ephesians 3:20 and 21 that we should all carry with us. As Pastor would like to say, keep it in our watch pocket all the time. So let's pray. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. God bless.